Welcome to Mill Spouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own Mill Spouse journey. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this special bonus episode. I am talking today to Jessica Strong from Blue Star Families, and she is going to be sharing with us all about their annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey and how you can be a part of it this year. Go to bluestarfam.org where you can take the survey. It's the 11th annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey, and it is open until October 16th. And it's really, really important that military families all across the board go and let their voice be heard, because it helps shape policy. It can change what's offered to military families and just let leaders know your concerns and what you're seeing. So today, Jessica will be telling us more about past year's results and what they're looking to do this year as well. The link will be in the show notes if you didn't catch that. It's bluestarfam.org where you can take the annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey. So as always, anything mentioned will be in the show notes. Connect with me at millspousematters.com or on Instagram and Facebook at millspousematters. But let's just get right into the talk with Jessica. Thank you so much for joining me today for episode 46. So hello, everybody. Today, I am so excited to be talking to Jessica Strong. And she's an Army spouse and the co-director of applied research at Blue Star Families. Blue Star Families was founded by military spouses in 2009 to empower military families to thrive as they serve. Their groundbreaking research is raising the nation's awareness of the unique challenges of military family life. With the help of neighbors across the country, Blue Star Families is overcoming the isolation and alienation of frequent moves, deployments, and reduced support from the government. Their innovative programs are solving specific challenges for military families, including fighting economic insecurity with resources that foster spouse career development, creating family strength with rich family programming, and providing critical peer support for caregivers whose numbers are only increasing. With more than 150,000 members in their network, including in chapters all over the world, Blue Star Families touches more than 1.5 million military family members every year. Through their research and program partnerships, Blue Star Families ensures that wherever American military families go, they can always feel connected, supported, and empowered to thrive. So Jessica Strong joined Blue Star Families as a volunteer chapter director in 2017 and then as a consultant shortly thereafter. And she joined the Blue Star Families staff as an applied research analyst in 2019. Her work with applied research focuses on the annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey, as well as developing, executing, and analyzing other research projects that support Blue Star Families' mission and enhance the national conversation about military families. She holds a master's degree in social work from Fayetteville State University and a PhD in social work from Rutgers, which she uses to advance the research available on understanding military family issues and how helping professionals can support military families. She has previously researched military families as an assistant professor of social work at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, publishing her research in the professional literature and focusing on teaching military-affiliated students at the extension site aboard Camp Lejeune. Jessica is an active duty Army spouse with three children currently stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. You can find out more about Blue Star Families at bluestarfam.org, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So welcome, Jessica. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. That was beautifully stated.
It's a very impressive resume. Oh, super smart lady, apparently.
Thanks.
So I'm glad that you're using your smarts to help military families.
Oh, yeah. Kind of it got thrown right into this. And it's as you've said, it's a labor of love. It's something that's I'm very passionate about and is very important to me, both personally and professionally. So it's great to build a career around things that are really important to you anyway.
Absolutely. And yeah, you're right. It's what keeps you going for sure, because it does affect you personally. And you've seen the effects on other families, obviously. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just love the work that Blue Star Families is doing. But for listeners who might not be familiar with Blue Star Families, can you talk a little bit more about them and the Military Family Lifestyle Survey? Am I saying that correctly? Military Family Lifestyle Survey, right?
Yes, you got it. You got it, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so Blue Star Families was founded by other military spouses. We tend to recruit a lot of military spouses because military spouses in general are very educated and they're passionate and they want to do things that will make a difference. So Blue Star Families has a lot of military spouses, and it was founded by a group of them in 2009 who noticed that civilians often didn't really understand what military lifestyle is like and the unique stressors that military life puts on military families. And they wanted to increase the connections between the military families and the communities in which they live. Because most of us don't live on an installation. Most of us live, 70% of us live out in the community surrounded by civilian neighbors. And that feeling of belonging to that community is often reliant on civilians' ability to understand what the unique demands of military life. So they founded Blue Star Families in 2009, and they started with the survey, because if they're going to tell the story of military family life, they have to hear from families what that story is. So we've been doing that ever since. We're in our 11th fielding of the annual Military Family Lifestyle Survey.
Wow.
We started with...
Can you believe
it? I know. We had our 10-year anniversary last year, and now we're keeping at it with number 11, and then 12 will be next year, and we'll just keep telling the story.
Wow. And I have to say, when you get the results, I love the infographic that you guys put together and kind of create such a very visually appealing report, because, you know, it's not just stats, like it is stats, obviously, but you can see it's just very easy to look at and read and kind of share. So I always share it every year. So I look for that every year. I'm
grateful to hear that. I love the ability to tell the story and get more of an understanding about the whole comprehensive picture about what it's like. Because it's not just one issue, it's all the issues. Mm-hmm. And so we tried, that's why our report is comprehensive, so we can look at all of the different things that impact military families and try and convey that in a way that makes some change.
If you're in the San Antonio area, check out Grace Rebecca Photography, an intimate wedding, elopement, and portrait photographer based near San Antonio, Texas. For a unique photo experience, connect with Grace. She's an experienced photographer who will collaborate with you to ensure you're getting the photos you desire. She will capture those special moments that show who you really are as a person and help you freeze a memory or capture the true feelings in your photos. Be watching for her special on Christmas mini sessions coming soon. Learn more at GraceRebeccaPhotography.com. That's GRACEREBEKAH Photography. And check out her portfolio of work or take a look at her Instagram at Grace Rebecca Photo. Do you know about Military by Owner? Military by Owner understands the challenges of military relocation. MilitaryByOwner.com is a national leader of online real estate advertising to the military community. Finding and advertising a home on Military by Owner is easy. Setup is done online. You simply create an account and then choose the ad package that best fits your needs. This can be done by the homeowner, real estate agent, or property manager. When selling or renting your home, the goal is to get it seen by as many people as possible. And if you're looking for a home to rent or buy near a military base, you can do a search by base, city, and more. Military by Owner is proven and dependable. They are veteran and military family owned and operated. They also offer free resources like videos, ebooks, articles, and blog posts for military families on numerous topics, including home buying and selling, relocation, becoming a landlord, home financing, and more. Be sure to also check out Military by Owner's base-specific guides. Learn more at militarybyowner.com. So you're talking about, you know, letting civilians know about the results. So how is it used? I mean, is it something that you send out to certain people, or is it just something that having that information helps you as you're talking to local community leaders? Or maybe I'm totally missing, like, what is it you do with the results, I guess, is kind of my question.
No, that's a great question. And we use them a lot of different ways. One of them is to, I like to talk about how we use it at both the grassroots and the grass tops level. At the grassroots, we mm-hmm. have our chapter locations, which are in 11 chapters nationwide. And we have chapter directors in each of those places that work to build those connections with the community on the ground. So they're out there doing food at a food pantry, doing a food drive, or they're out passing out Facebook portals for back to school, or working to bring civilians in that community together with military families in that community. So they're working like in person on the ground. That's our grassroots way of increasing understanding about what military life is like with the civilians, with civilian organizations. Mm-hmm. And then at the grass tops, we take this survey findings and we share them with a wide variety of people, but we share them with legislators who can make change at the policy level. We share them with funders, donors, philanthropic organizations who are funding and supporting different programs that will make change. We share it with even local government government organizations like school boards and school administrators. We have recommendations mm-hmm. in that report to say, this is how you can welcome military families. This is how you as a school administrator or school principal can make life just a little bit easier for the military families yeah. who are moving in and out of your community.
That's so important. And I've wondered too, you know, the surveys, have they impacted policy? Have you seen policy changes or changed what the service branches offer to families? What specific changes have you seen as a result of all this work you've put into the surveys and this wonderful information?
Well, change takes time. So it's right. it's a bit of a slow process, but we have seen some yeah. wonderful changes, particularly recently. This year, Senator Blumenthal introduced into Congress a bill called the Command Accountability for Military Family Readiness Act. The focus of this is to enhance command climate assessments to ensure that they are tracking how well commanders are connecting with military families and responding to military family needs, building that into the assessment process. So really emphasizing the importance of military families on the service member and military readiness as a whole. Another thing that mm-hmm. we just saw recently is the Air Force published a Support of Military Families report, and they've developed this framework and set of criteria to provide communities with information to demonstrate how they can better support airmen and space professionals and their families, so that is one of the factors that is considered in future basing decisions. And the two primary criteria that are a part of that metric are spouse employment, spouse mm-hmm. job portability, and children's education, because we yeah. know consistently those are two of the top issues that come up as important to military families. They want spouse employment is a perennial issue, and we want to make sure that children are able to get the education that they are entitled to, even if they're moving from school to school within a military lifestyle.
We were talking before we recorded, you know, my husband was in for 31 years and we did a lot of volunteering and base visits and things, especially towards the end of his career. And it was always employment and, like you said, childcare and deployments.
Yes.
And I get a lot of questions from my listeners, and those are the perennial issues. The other challenges are back-to-back deployments. Mm. The big one right now is moving somewhere new and the spouse immediately leaving and the distance from family. So I'm curious. This is just a roundabout way of asking this question. When you see the survey and then you talk to people in person, do you feel like the surveys reflect what you're hearing in person? Are they pretty similar, or are they, I don't know, is there a fear of sharing, or do you feel like it's pretty across the board the same information that you're hearing on the ground?
Well, you know, everybody's story is a little bit different. I mean, people run into, especially in military life, you run into different issues depending on where you're based and what your family life is like. And if you have a blended family, your issues may be a little bit different than somebody who Sure. isn't in a blended family. If you are a dual career couple, you're going to run into different issues than if you are a couple that focuses on one career. So Right. everybody's family is a little bit different, but I think overall, what we see as the results in the survey aren't surprising to me, given all the conversations Right. that I have with people. I mean, I know living, that is one of the benefits of both living this life and also researching it and being on a team of researchers who are also living the Mm-hmm. life is when we look at the data that we get back, we go, yeah, that tracks with the stories that I'm hearing and anecdotes that I hear from people. I mean, I also have lived through the let's move to a new place and 2 months later, spouse is deploying yeah. and we've got to mm-hmm. get kids enrolled in school and try and find a new job. And oh, by the way, now you're doing that on your own.
Have fun with
yes,
that.
Yes, precisely. We've done yeah. that a few times. It's not fun.
Well, let's talk about the 2020 survey because I see that you're talking about a new range of topics and maybe you can speak to what those will be and what your goals are, kind of speak about some of those details.
Yeah. So of course we like to be able to maintain keeping the temperature and keeping track and of certain issues that are perennial issues that are always coming up. Mm-hmm. Spouse employment, I think we'll always be tracking that. Children's education, I think that's an issue that we're always going to follow. Things like deployments and time away from family, the financial issues and stress, those are top issues that we consistently track. But, you know, things change and we have new experiences, particularly this year, that we have to deal with. So a couple of the new sections that we're looking at this year is a COVID section. So we did some research over the summer on the impacts of COVID and the COVID response on military families. And so we're extending that a little bit to see how that has impacted families in the military family lifestyle survey. So we're looking at mm-hmm. what I'm really interested to see is we knew spouse employment was an issue before COVID hit, and then the yeah. unemployment has just skyrocketed since then. So I'm really curious to see what our spouse employment rate is going to be this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be a whole different thing.
I'm interested to see too. And then with the stop loss, you know, movement, travel ban mm-hmm. changed the whole way we normally do military life, like the whole PCS season yeah. that just got wiped out. Like it's just so odd. And I know that there are people that are still stuck in kind of limbo and waiting to see what's going to happen or not moving.
Yeah,
it's such a strange year.
We had a couple of staff members who PCS'd in the middle of COVID season, and it was, boy, our family was due for a PCS, and we got extended for a year. And I'm like, thank goodness I'm not moving in the middle of this because there's a yeah. lot. Relocation was already stressful, and we've just sort of right. intensified that over the course of this mm-hmm. this year since COVID hit.
Well, in military kids coming in as new kids is already an issue. And so if you come in as a new kid and you're only doing virtual school or you're doing the hybrid yeah. or you're masked, you know, it's just, it seems like there's a lot stacked against them this year. But one thing I do know is that military families are resilient, not to like downplay it, but I am curious to kind of see how things go for families this year with all of the strangeness added to what's already a challenging life, like you said.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been thinking about and talking to people about, especially in relation to military families and their response to COVID, is I think in some ways that we knew military families were resilient anyway. Not that that is a reason to pile more stressors on, but we know that Right. that act of recovering from stress makes you more resilient. So military families in some ways are sort of set up for success in the COVID environment because we're used to uncertainty. Yeah. We're used to plans Yeah. changing. We're used to trying to be flexible. So it's using that resilience and hoping to use it up to the point where we can make it work and not beyond our ability to cope.
Yeah. And now I should have asked you this before we started, so I don't put you on the spot. But is the survey open to all military as active duty reserve guard, or is it only an active duty survey?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. Yes, it's open to active duty, veterans, National Guard, Reserve, their okay. family members, and also new this year, and you might be interested in this, we have a section for parents, because parents of service members, because we know yeah. how important it is for parents to be able to support service members and support military families. I mean, we're thinking about like in terms of providing childcare. If your spouse is deployed and you're trying to go on a work trip or a business trip, I know a lot of people will fly a parent or a grandparent in so that they can provide some support and some childcare. And during COVID, that's less possible to do.
And we've been on both sides of that coin as an active duty family. We had family members help us with some of the driving moves.
Yeah.
And then now that our son is active duty, he was deployed, and this was before COVID, but she had gone back to stay with her parents and then was moving into base housing. And so we drove up to help. So we've kind of seen it from both sides. Like, we're happy to be able to do it. But like you said, if they can't even travel, then what? What support do they have as they're rolling into a new location?
Right. I was
duty station.
We're dealing with a deployment currently. And I was thinking about, if something happens, if something were to happen to me, who's taking care of the kids, right? Normally it would be a grandparent, but we're in the middle of COVID and we're not, and I don't want to put them further at risk. So what do families do?
What is the answer?
I really do want to know. Do you have that answer?
What did you come up with? You're the expert.
So that's why I researched this, so I can hear what other people are doing.
Yeah. I think it's probably very affirming to spouses to know that nobody really has the answers. Like, we're all just kind of figuring this out together, which can be comforting, but also like, no, you're supposed to tell me what to do.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer. I have research and I have some data, but I certainly do not have all the answers. And I'm sure you feel the same way after 31 years. You're like, I know a lot of things. I don't know everything.
Well, and it's just this, the more you go on, the more you realize how little you really know. Because like you said, everybody's situations are so different. And there's always something different thrown into the mix as far as like dual military or single parents. I mean, everybody's going to have a different answer. Well, and I was going to ask you about what do you think are the differences and challenges for military families right now? That's definitely one. I mean, what are the topics that you usually see over and over? You spoke about military spouse employment and childcare, but what other topics tend to kind of pop up year after year? And then maybe like, what would the challenges be different this year in light of that?
So a couple, there are so many different issues. I pick a few that are important to me, but there are certainly it's not covering all of the things that impact people. But a couple of the things that I see as really important that are going to be exacerbated this year, intensified, are finding resources for families who have kids who have special needs or who are providing caregiving. So last year we found that EFMP families, Exceptional Family Member Program families, when they relocated, even though they're enrolled in this EFMP program, 40% weren't able to receive a referral and be seen by a specialist in a reasonable amount of time after a relocation.
Oh,
that's challenging because every time you move, that child with special needs or that family member with special needs can be set back in their medical program. So that can be particularly difficult right now, especially for families who have a child with special needs who may be receiving special education. When we're doing school virtually or hybrid, how do we make sure that kids are still having access to the services that they need? Or are we going to we're going to see a generation of people set back or a generation of kids who are held back from where they could be because of a difficulty trying to transfer services or come up with new services or find something that'll work. So that's one. I know caregivers are also, their stressors are intensified right now because they may not be able to use the respite care they had because they don't want to expose somebody to the risk of COVID-19 infection.
Right.
So they might be more socially isolated than they were in the past. They might be more stressed. So those are some of the things that I'm looking at for this year. We know that mental health is always an important issue for military families. And I think particularly post-COVID, those stresses are going to be intensified.
It's so important. It's daunting. Mm-hmm. I mean, just this one change in our world. And I was talking to, I have a couple of teachers coming on another episode to talk about helping military kids during this time. And one of the things she mentioned was a lot of parents with like preschoolers or kindergartners are choosing to hold them back a year and not start them until next year. And she said, has anybody stopped to think about those class sizes will now be doubled?
I didn't think about that at all.
And yeah, you stop and think, okay, I'm making the best decision for my family. But across the board, if everybody's doing that, what is the impact for society and the military, just in general? It's very, I think we'll be seeing this play out for years to come, all the different after effects of this challenging year.
I always think about that in terms of the impact on women and particularly like female service members. We know that this, the extra responsibilities, the extra obligations of taking care of kids and not having access to childcare or having children learning virtually, we know that that is predominantly falling on women and on the female partner. What I'm worried about is we'll see a generation of female service members have to take a step back from their military career because of these requirements. And then we'll have a whole generation of female service members who are missing.
Yeah, because the effect of that will be long-term. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. Like I said, it's kind of daunting and almost depressing to think about. But Jessica, I'm really glad that Blue Star Families is looking at these issues and bringing them to the attention of the people that need to see it condensed and put in a format where they can see the effects and what military families are really thinking and going through. And so talk about why it's important for military families to participate in this survey and when is it closing this year?
So we're open until October 16th this year. We're actually, this is kind of a strange year for fielding. Normally we would be opening up the survey in the spring. But as we were planning to open up the survey this past spring, the world changed a bit. So we
something happened. Yeah.
So we shifted. And as military families do, we were flexible and adapted. So we are fielding now. We opened on September 8th and we'll be open until October 16th. And I think it's especially important to get a wide variety of respondents because this year, one of the things that we added this year is a section on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And of course, we have always looked at, you know, demographically, do we have, what are the demographics? What is the race and ethnicity makeup of our sample? What is the gender makeup of our sample? What is the sexual orientation makeup of our sample? But this year, it's become increasingly important as we're looking at the experiences of Black and Brown families in particular in military life and whether those experiences differ and how they might differ from their counterparts. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to get a broad representation of a lot of different people and a lot of different stories so that we can bring a true comprehensive holistic look at what military life is like, not just what military life is like for a certain subgroup.
Good. Well, and do you find that you have a pretty broad sampling from year to year that lots of different types of people and like you said, answer the questions or are you having to push certain segments to really dig in and answer the survey?
I think every research has to make sure that it's representative in as many ways as it can be. And so up until this point, we've done a really good job of making sure that we're representative in terms of branch and in terms of the size of our sample and all of that. I think a lot of military research and a lot of research on military families, including our own, has undersampled some of the more vulnerable groups and more underrepresented groups like Black and Brown families. So that's why the focus this year on making sure we're trying to address that and make sure that when we say we're trying to share the voices of military families, we really are sharing all the voices of military families.
That's so good. Well, and listeners, you know, I think it comes down to if we have issues, complaints, this is the way to voice them, a really good way to voice them. And we will make sure and have a good link for you all to take that survey because this will come out well before that, probably about 10, no, it's a couple weeks before it's closing.
Oh, great.
So don't wait. Yeah, absolutely. Get on there and do that survey. And how long would you say it takes to do the actual survey?
It varies depending on how what your circumstances are. Parents have a few like fewer questions than an active duty spouse or an active duty service member, but on average it would take about 30 minutes to complete. So it is not a short survey. I don't want to let anybody think that it is a short survey because it's not. It's comprehensive and we do that for a reason so that we can see how these many issues intersect with one another. So we could do just a survey on spouse employment, but as we live this life, we know that spouse employment is impacted by your ability to get childcare and whether your spouse is deploying and whether you're where you're moving and how often you move. So when we look at all of those things, we can see them, how they intersect, and we can see the whole picture rather than just, you know, this many spouses are unemployed.
Yeah. And then what?
Yes. Right. Yeah. And then we can determine what are the solutions that people see? Like how do we address this? Do we encourage families to be, to enter an entrepreneurship? Do we encourage them to find remote or flexible work options? Like, what do you guys see as the solution?
Well, I am really interested to see the results, and I will do the survey.
Yay, good.
I didn't realize, because I was thinking, you know, as retirees, it's not for us anymore, but we absolutely will do it. And as the parent of a service member, absolutely will do
it. And moms get stuff done. So go tell your son, you need to go take the survey now.
I will tell him and his wife. So, yeah. Well, this is such good information, Jessica. Is there anything you wanted to add before we close out our talk?
I don't think there's anything other than I'd love to have people take the survey because people are listening and the people who are making changes are listening and looking for this. So as you said, if you have something to say, this is where to say it. Don't say it in a Facebook comment because it won't get to where it needs to go. Say it in the survey.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your work and everyone there at Blue Star Families for all that you do to support military families, Jessica.
Well, thank you for having me on. I very much appreciate it. This was a lovely little chat.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll have to bring you back when the next survey results come out. So when do they come out? I didn't ask
good
that.
Good question. Yes, they come out the end of March. So the end of March in 2021.
So we'll have to have you back.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be so interesting. So listeners, remember that you can find out more about Blue Star Families at bluestarfam.org. I will put the link for the survey in the show notes. So make sure and go take that survey. It's so important. It's the Military Family Lifestyle Survey. And then you can find Blue Star Families as well on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for now, thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening to the MilSpouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at MilSpouseMatters.com or on social media as @MilSpouseMatters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.